AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Communications and Digital Media. Thank you for tuning into today's radio show, giving you that huge hand clap right there. We appreciate your listenership. We are broadcasting live, people, live from Silicon Valley, Bay Area, and around the world on AM 1220, KDOW, iHeartRadio, and, of course, our online streaming where you can always listen live. I always like to let you know where you can catch us. If you want to dial into today's radio show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220 and get your questions and comments on the air with me today. Of course, if you're a little shy, you can connect with me directly by emailing me at onthedge@businessontheedge.biz, or call 1-888-MySBC30. We're going to have a talk today. We're going to have, think of this show today as a retreat, your own personal retreat. It's a one-on-one retreat. Your coach is here, and we're going to talk about some things. I've got some questions for you today. I believe, and you may have heard this before, in fact, that's how I learned it. You know, we learn from other people. We don't just, you know, even the things we come up with, it's so interesting. One day I might talk about the phrase self-made millionaire, self-made. It's an interesting talk. But four words that you should live by or want to live by. Do what you love or love what you do. I remember seeing a commercial years ago, and you might see it every now and then, and this guy's out taking photographs and everything. And of course, you'll hear the announcer say something like, if you're doing what you love, you won't work a day in your life. And really, when you're doing what you love, you really do work. There is a lot of effort into that. It's the connotation or the way that it sounds like you won't really work hard. You won't really be working, but it is really work. But it's work that you love to do, so maybe it doesn't feel so much as the type of work that maybe you're doing today. And that's not really what you want to do. You're paying bills. You're trying to make sure maybe you've got kids in college, or maybe you're just starting your career and you need to make ends meet and you're not doing what you love. You go to college and you graduate and you're trying to wedge into the industry that you graduated in, and it takes a little bit sometimes depending on the industry that you're in. And so I'm curious, you can ask yourself these questions, or you can answer these questions, excuse me. I'm curious, are you doing what you love? This is everybody. Are you doing what you love? If you are an employer or a supervisor or C-level, whatever level that you are and you're in charge, business owner, this is for everybody today. I just kind of want to have a chill show today and just get you to chew on some things. Do you have employees? We've got this new thing, quiet quitting. And I'm wondering, why are people quietly quitting? Now, truth be told, quietly quitting is not like a new thing. If you've been around long enough, you have worked with someone who just, they do the, whatever's in the job description, that's all they do. They're not trying to do anything extra. They just want to get their paycheck. They're not ideal to work with because it's frustrating because they don't go above and beyond the call of duty. Certainly not someone I would want to be in the military with if I had to go into battle somewhere. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's like a scary thought. I'm just saying, just a scary thought. But quietly quitting. And so if you search for this, it says it's a recent trend. It's not a recent trend. This has been something that people have been doing over and over and over in the workplace. In fact, I was astonished. I was astonished to learn that in 2023, Gallup's reported the state of the global workplace reports states that 59% of the global workforce consists of quiet quitters. I'm like, what? I'm a little surprised that that number is so high. And so critics and other professionals are questioning the same thing that I'm questioning. Is this really a new trend? It's not a new trend. We're just calling it a new trend because we haven't, someone came up with the phrase quiet quitters. And people who are in jobs that they're not happy with, they're dissatisfied. I've done that. I've done work, but I was always a great worker. And so whatever I did, I really wanted to do my best at until I wanted to quit. I remember in my husband and I, when I've been married for 34 years. And so when we first got married, we lived in Florida. He was in the military. He's in the Air Force. So we were living in Florida. He was at Patrick Air Force Base. And I was working a couple of different jobs. I mean, I'm in my 20s. I'm in my mid-20s at that time. And so moving from a different state, working for a great company, I was working for the state of Illinois. And so then I got married and moved to another state. And it was like starting right. It wasn't like starting over. It was literally starting over. And so I was working at restaurants and I got in this job with this cleaning agency, cleaning people's homes and all of that. And my grandmother taught us really well on how to clean well in your homes and stuff. So I was like, I can do this. And so as I worked this for months, I worked the job. I was really great at it until my boss didn't pay me correctly on one of the jobs. I was so angry with her. I'm in my 20s. So, you know, 20s are kind of, that's a kooky time. That's kind of, we don't have a whole lot of sense, you know, so we're going to do stupid stuff. Like we don't care. And so we're not filtering everything properly. Like you probably shouldn't just quit your job because you have bills to pay. And, you know, giving your boss one of your fingers, choose one, you know what I mean? And so I just decided to, this is why I'm saying it's not a trend. I did this 30 years ago, guys. And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to quit. But I didn't just quit. And I didn't give a 2-week notice. I was angry. I was all ticked off because I worked extra for a house that was extra. I mean, this house was, oh my gosh. I couldn't even believe people lived in there. In fact, I was so afraid to clean it because I didn't know what I was going to find under anything. Dead mice. Right? I was just really. And so the amount of time that they allotted was not a sufficient time to really clean this home that was literally, it was a dumpster. It was like, oh my gosh, who could live like this? And so I was going to get even with my boss, right? Small business owner. So I decided to quietly quit in a very, very interesting way. And I'm not saying those 20-year-olds out there that are listening to this to do this, but I did do it. I cannot tell a lie. I did do it. So for the next job, she calls me up, says, hey, you got a job to go clean this home. I'm like, oh, great. I'm on my way. The ultimate form of quietly quitting. I'm on my way. Guess what, guys? I wasn't on my way. And so when she called again, I was like, I'm on my way. Yes, yes, I'm on my way. I'm going. Guess what? It was just a big fat lie. It was a quiet quitting in your face. I'm not even trying to keep it a secret. And so that's what I did. I was like, there is no way I'm going to do this kind of work and they're not going to pay me right. And so it's not new. It's not new. And I wasn't doing what I love to do. Do what you love. People want, you want to, I would like to think most people want to leave a legacy, or they want to be known for something. There's a reason why I'm here. What's the reason why I'm here? And it could be very simple, or it could be on a grand stage somewhere. Everyone's not going to be on a grand stage. But what you really should be aiming for, the word purpose is really a wonderful word. I'm a word person. I like words. The word purpose really means, when people says, what is my purpose? That's really not the right question. The right question is, what is my aim? What is my intention? What is my goal? Is it to start a business, or is it to climb the corporate ladder? If I'm climbing the corporate ladder, am I climbing that ladder in the right organization? Or is there a different organization that I would like to be at? Work that I really want to feel like at the end of the day, I did some good work today. I did some great work. And so you have to make a decision on, and some may say I'm too old, and I would even argue age. Because I believe that if there's a purpose, I believe everyone has purpose, whatever that is. And if you are aiming and wanting to really achieve what that is, I believe that you can, regardless of whatever age you are. Now, let's be realistic. Like, for example, when I was growing up, I wasn't thinking about, yes, when I grew up, I want to be a business coach, consultant. Wow. I wanted to be a dancer. I love to dance. I still love to dance. I really wanted to be a professional dancer. But we were poor, so I could only go to dance classes here and there. And I started older than most kids. I mean, I started in my late teens. And so it was very difficult. And I took dance in college and all of that. And it was just what one would consider past my time, really. So there's things that, yes. But what is the purpose? Purpose is a 13th century word, and it means intention, aim, goal, objective to keep in your view. And if you keep your purpose in its view, you are likely are going to achieve it. When we come back, we'll dig in a little bit deeper on our retreat here. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Call Margaret Jackson now at 800-516-1220. This is Business on the Edge. Business on the Edge on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back in. We're really talking about, we're retreating today. You're on a radio retreat here on AM 1220 KDOW with me today, Business on the Edge. We're retreating and we're having a conversation about do what you love or love what you do, live by those four words. Are you quietly quitting on your job? Hey, you supervisors, employers, C-level executives, I guarantee you got C-level executives quietly quitting, C-suite, hating their job, making great money, don't get to spend much time with your family, and it's challenging. It's challenging, right? Do what you love. Have you ever retreated with your, and we do company retreats, right? And so have you done a company retreat to ask these questions? It's so interesting what kind of dialogue could happen if you do a retreat and just find out where people are. I love being a business owner. One of the things that I ask people when I'm interviewing them, whether it's to be a contractor or bring them on as an employee, where do they want to be in 3 years, right? What do you want to be in 5 years? COVID kind of messed us up, you know. 5 years seems so far away when you have something lingering that literally can change your life drastically, from long haulers to people passing away to those that it doesn't even faze them to get COVID. I know I have a colleague that he gets it and it's like a common cold to him. But until we have more understanding of it, 5 years seems like a long way away. Where you say, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Are you on that path? Are you doing a retreat? Are you talking to your team, especially if you know they're quiet quitters? Don't call them out. Call them out. You're a quiet quitter. I know you're a quiet quitter. No, we know that. HR would be like all over you. You can't say that. What could change for them that could turn around quietly quitting in the workplace? I believe that a big way of changing that is getting them tied to what's their aim? What's their goal? Where do they really want to be? Because that's what equals purpose. See, we're asking the wrong question. What is my purpose? And you're asking people, what's my purpose? And you're going on this hunt. When a better question is, what is my aim? What is my goal? Purpose is not one thing, by the way, people. So, for example, for those that have graduated college with an MBA or a computer science, computer information systems, or mathematics, or whatever your degree, English, doesn't matter. You purpose to do it. You intentionally aimed for it. You intentionally made a choice and decided, I am going to get a college degree. If you have an associate's degree in general education, I have an associate's degree in general education. It was an intention. I intended to aim towards. I've got a couple of degrees in film and television, and it was an aim, it was a goal, it was a purpose that I set out to achieve. Purpose is not a thing. It's so many different parts of our lives. I purpose to be married one day and have children. It's very important to me. That's my motherhood purpose and my wife purpose. And I want to be great at it, extraordinary. So sometimes we're putting things in a box that we shouldn't put in a box. And maybe you're thinking, wow, I could write a book, or I could start that business, or I could be an adjunct professor. I enjoy the work that I do at Cisco or Apple or Google or SAS or wherever you're at. What gives you purpose? There's this guy. This is a true story. This is a true story. I don't know how much time I have to tell the story. Actually, I do. I've got 2 minutes. There was this guy, true story, when I was working for Department of Defense Base Education Office, who absolutely hated his job. Military young man in his 20s, family, and could not control his choice, his career choice, because the ASVAB places you based on your scoring. And he scored extremely high, so they had him in engineering. He was doing engineering work. Hated it, absolutely loathed it. And so because he couldn't control it, because he was not doing what he loved to do, and in the military, can you really quietly quit in the military? I doubt it. And so I began working, when I was working for the Base Education Office, I'm working for Department of Defense, I started going through and finding out who hadn't been taking classes and going and getting a higher education degree, because that's part of what's written in the regulations. I said, well, so let me just check on the whole base. So I started going through their files, because we have them in the Base Education Office, and came across his. Met his wife first. And so it became very, very interesting, and the military will have resources for families to go to school and all of that as well. It's not just for the military personnel. And so I'm talking to her, and she's getting really excited. And it's like, you need to talk to my husband. You need to talk to my husband. Why? What's going on? And she began to tell me their story. And when you don't have control of your world, and you don't have control over your life, you try to make decisions based on what you can control. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what that was for them. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge. Be a Bay Area business and finance leader.
Now back to Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Love what you do. Do what you love. So you're not in your job quietly quitting. Right? So I left off last segment. And if you want to call into the show, call in. And you could certainly call in anonymously and tell me, are you quietly quitting at work? 1-800-516-1220. Are you quietly quitting? And why? Why are you quietly quitting at work? What would you like to be doing? You don't have to say your name. You don't have to say the company you work with. In fact, I'd prefer it. But are you quietly quitting? And what would you really like to be doing? Call us 1-800-516-1220 if you'd like to get on air and chat a little bit about it. So I ended the last segment telling you, started this story about this military Air Force guy who hated his job. And so in the military, you're not quietly quitting. You're doing your job, whether you like it or not. And met his wife, worked in the base education office. So I was helping military people and their families get into colleges, moving their education forward. That's part of the regulation. And when I met her husband, they were getting ready to what we call PCS. They were going to another base, Albuquerque, actually. And it was so difficult for him. He hated it so much, he considered divorcing his wife because he couldn't. It was, think about it, military. If you're military out there and you're in recruiting, you guys might want to rethink. And I don't know how maybe the ASVAB has changed over the years, or adding a component where you can test for skills, giftings, talents. So it gives you a holistic picture rather than putting people in areas that they just despise. And so when I talked to him, got him on a call, and I said, well, what would you like to be doing? And so he was giving some very, very bad information at another base, that his community college Air Force going after that degree. So the Air Force has a CCAF degree, Community College Air Force Associate's degree. And he was told at another base that he had to get that degree in his current discipline where he was working. But he hated it in order for him to go and study other things. I said, well, that's not true. So whoever told you that had that totally wrong, and you can study whatever you want to get your CCF degree. I said, you do not have to study anything with engineering. You don't have to do anything with it. Zero. Zilch. Nada. What do you want to do? Guess what he started talking to me about? Film, television, creativity, production. Really, engineers who really love engineers think very differently, and creativity doesn't typically lean into that. They're very, very, you know, focused on, you know, what they're doing in their station. You know, it's just a very different kind of mindset. No offense out there, guys. But creativity and engineering is kind of like apples and oranges. And I said, great, get your CCF degree in film, television. I was very excited because I was a film student at the time. And so I didn't want to lead him, so I didn't tell him for a while. But that's what he was leaning into, what he loved to do. And he wanted to do what he loved. And he couldn't. He was stuck. He felt stuck. I can't go to school. I can't do this. I can't do that. I got to go to a job I hate. And when I gave him that information, it was like the heavens opened, the stars were bright, next level was coming into his life before he left a base, going to another base with new information, knowing that he could. We had gotten everything prepared for this guy. I said, here's the college you can go to. These are the classes they have. When you do what you love, believe me, you are not working with quiet quitters. They love it. You ever work with media people? I worked in the media arena. We ask my producer, who's producing this show, love the space. We love the creative space. I'm a creative. Love this space. Creating, putting shows together. Those that are working behind the scenes enjoy and love what they're doing. Woo-hoo! See, that's my producer saying. I'm spot on that.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
See, when you love what you do or doing what you love, you do not have quiet quitters. And so you really want to think about, and again, if you are the bosses out there, do a retreat. Do a company wide retreat and have some real dialogue. And you might even want to consider moving people around and put them in positions that they would excel at. That would increase and change your, I guarantee it, I would be shocked if the performance level didn't go up, your bottom line increasing. Right? We talk about the bottom line a lot. We don't talk about top lines. But what I'm saying is that when people love what they're doing, then you're going to get a better outcome. You're going to get better results. And if you're an individual and you're working in a job or a position that you're just kind of, you're feeling stuck, you have to start asking yourself other questions. How can I change my position or posture? How can I get a hold of my purpose? Remember, purpose just means intentional aim and goal. So what's your intentional aim and goal? Because you may need to be where you're at as you are making those turns and making those adjustments, so that way you're paying your bills, but you are on a track to be able to make an exit. And so quietly quitting is unnecessary. You can work at your A game knowing that you have intentional aim, intentional goal, so you can do what you love. I've got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Margaret Jackson here on AM 1220 KDOW. We will be right back.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of this show. Welcome in. Wow. I am excited. We should have our next magazine out here, out this weekend. So we're looking forward to, yes, our digital magazine. It'll be published out there on issue.com, ISSUU.com. And the theme, the cover theme, small business fitness. Small business fitness. You need to be fit in your business. And I mean the business itself being fit. It's amazing. I'm amazed at small businesses that have been around actually for a long time. And there's basic things that they've never done. So obviously you can have a level of success if you are not putting in certain infrastructures that can really help provide another next level of success. You can be comfortable in your mom and pop businesses and all of that. What I love about Fortune 1000 companies and Fortune 500 companies and large corporations is that they're there because of what they put in place, the business plans. Like their business plan might be anywhere from 30 to 100 pages and maybe some longer depending on the business. And so they understand their business model. They understand the importance of being business fit, corporate fit. Why? So they can stay competitive. You want to stay competitive. So definitely get a hold of our magazine when we publish it over the weekend. And you will not be disappointed in some of the articles that are out there, which is great. So let's get back to our retreat talk. Studies show that if you are happy, if you are a happy employee, you have job satisfaction. Hands down, absolutely, no argument that it not only impacts the person, the employee, their individual performance, but it impacts the overall success of the company. So quiet quitters, quietly quitting people in your company is not healthy for your company. So I would certainly be paying attention to those that are quietly quitting. Either we need to adjust that to get them on board, to really enjoy what they're doing, or there needs to be some changes. There was a study conducted by the University of Oxford Business School, and they revealed that happier employees not only worked faster, and they did this kind of this call center scenario, not only did they work faster, making more calls per hour, but they achieved 13% higher sales compared to their less happy colleagues. And we'll call those folks the quiet quitters. Why would you want to? So just for all of the quiet quitters out there, seriously, do what you love. If you're in any organization or business and you're not doing what you love, you need to get any position, any business or any company and do what you love. If you're supposed to start a business, get off your tush and start the business. Get off those buns and start the business. Why? Because research is showing not only is it a benefit for the company to love what you do, but it's a benefit for the individual to do what they love to do. So I'm going to say this to all of the decision makers that gave you the job, is that if they're a quiet quitter, I would be trying to figure out how to I'd be trying to figure out how to fire them. Absolutely. Right. I would talk to HR and says they put them on a performance, 90-day performance track. Because if they don't love what they're doing and they're saying that they are doing, it is a disservice to the company, the organization. And it doesn't matter what company it is. Okay. And so that's what I would recommend. Why would I keep someone who's dragging their feet? I want to perform. I want my company performing at its best. So I have a question. So how can we take them on a retreat? And so how are we going to get you to, what would you like? What positions, if you could, this is so funny. This is so great. You guys can have this for free. I would just ask them, you know, like a game, and says, if you could have any position in this company, which one would it be? Of course, no retaliation for those that choose your job. Just why? Because it's going to give you some sort of indication of where they might be aiming and how you might be able to. A great boss, a great leader wants to pull the best out of their people. I talk to my team and I know exactly where they want to be in the future. And I know that they're going to work their way out of being working for a small business concierge. And I'm okay with that. Why? Because they are going to be and heading towards and even, you know, doing what they love. Sometimes they're doing jobs that they don't love here. And we have to. It's a small business. You're listening to Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader. We will be right back.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW.
And welcome back into the show. You're probably thinking, Coach, it's so harsh. Fire the employees. I'm not saying take the nuclear option right now. I'm saying give them an opportunity by what you do, by inspiring a more positive workplace, optimism. When people enjoy their jobs, they're more optimistic, they're more motivated. I was working for this company, this organization, it's not a company, it's an organization, institution, if you will. And the work environment got really toxic. And I was like, I cannot work in this environment. Oh my gosh. I had to find a way. I needed an escape hatch. And fortunately one came, but it's difficult. The future of jobs. Love what you do, do what you love. Whether it's entrepreneurship, working for your favorite company, or climbing the corporate ladder because you've been working there since you were in high school and there's new opportunities. I love those stories. I've been working here since, and they went on to do great things in the company, right? Bought the company or became the CEO of the company. I love those stories. Love what you do. So the future of jobs, the future of our world economics in the workplace. The emphasis should be put on from studies, actually, is rethink your approach to hiring and motivating your employees. And they take advantage in making sure your employees are happy. You know, the interests of the workers. All of that's going to benefit the bottom line. So you want to make sure that you're doing what you need to do so you do not have quiet quitters and you have a team that loves what they do. This is Margaret Jackson. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader.